Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, joined with...
Hey, I'm Paul Prydecker.
And Afterburner Al. And it's a wonderful day. It's getting warm already, but we like it that way. Light winds. And in studio with us is Andy Davis from Trig Avionics.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have several products, but one of the things that... one of your core products is ADS-B, and that's a big deal among GA because that deadline is coming up and people are going to have to outfit their airplanes in any sort of level. They either have to have the out, which is the required, and some people may want the in. And how is your company addressing this?
Well, yeah, you're right. The deadline is closer than a lot of people think. It's just 53 months to go if you start counting backwards. Some people think that they're putting it off. A surprising number of people come on our booth and say, yeah, I'm thinking of being an early adopter and getting into that maybe next year. And we laugh because, of course, that's cutting it a bit fine by our measure. So ADS-B out is the mandate. You have to have something on board your airplane which transmits your position, velocity, and some other stuff as well, instead of or as an adjunct to your transponder. So anywhere where you used to need a Mode C transponder, you're going to have to do ADS-B out.
Are you finding that your people who are coming into your booth are already familiar with ADS-B, or do you see yourself in a sort of a education mode right now?
It's changing. This year, there is some familiarity. Some of these guys do know something about ADS-B. They don't necessarily know all the details or how exactly it works, but they certainly know that it applies to them and that they need to do something soon.
So I've heard that the cost has been dropping significantly with the price of the ADS-B units over the past few years. And I've also heard some people go, you know, I think I might want to wait on I'm going to buy it a couple of years down the line because I think the price is going to get even cheaper. Would you anticipate that it's going to get much cheaper?
Or
is
it floor? Yeah.
Is this kind of like probably the best time to buy?
Of course I'd have to say that because I'm a vendor. Come on, guys. That's an unfair question. But seriously, prices have been coming down. Prices of some of the components of the solution have been coming down. Particularly the thing that's been coming down this year is the price of extra GPS inputs. You have to have a GPS position source to do ADS-B. There's been a lot of discussion as to how to do that. The what you might call the flagship way of doing that is to use the existing GPS position that you have in your navigator. So if you have a panel mount navigator that's a full WAS, LPV, approach certified box, I can guarantee that the GPS engine in there is also good enough for ADS-B. And a lot of the early stuff involves doing that. And we have a whole range of packages that can take advantage of existing, for example, GNS 430s, GNS 530s, the GTNs, all from Garmin products that all have good GPS position sources that you can use with our ADS-B out solution.
And so that's a cheaper solution for somebody who already has a GPS.
If you're already on it.
That reaches a certain level, though, because it can't be any GPS.
That's correct. If you have an older GPS that doesn't meet the requirements for these new standards, then unfortunately you can't use that as a position source.
Andy, one of the things I'm curious about, what's the user interface to ADS-B? Is all this happening behind the scenes, or is there some pilot input to it?
There is no pilot input at all, other than what you would have done on a transponder. So actually there is still a squawk code. You're still going to put in a squawk code in an ADS-B system, and it's still used in much the same way as it was. In fact, it's used when you have hybrid surveillance, which is going to exist up to and beyond 2020, a mixture of radar and ADS-B.
So now the squawk code, is that the same thing as a current transponder, where it's the four digits, 0 through 7?
Absolutely. Okay. Exactly the same. And in fact, one of the requirements of the ADS-B regs is, first of all, that you still have a transponder. Transponders don't go away with ADS-B. You still need it because it's an important component of the fallback plan if there's a problem with the GPS system. It's also absolutely important for TCAS. TCAS depends on Mode C transponders, and it's such a huge safety net for the airlines that's not going to go away any soon.
Is there a plan of obsolescence for a normal Mode C transponder?
Nope.
No.
It's expected to continue indefinitely into the future. So you still have to have a transponder. And then you get one of the things which is in the small print of the requirements, which is that since your ADS-B solution also has to transmit the squawk code, it has to be the same squawk code that you have on your transponder. And they talk about single point of entry. And there's a number of different ways of solving that. You either use one box or you have interconnects.
So do you have both solutions where you have one box that does both and also separate solutions where if you already have the transponder, you can just throw in the ADS-B portion?
All of our solutions are built into a transponder. So that makes it easy in that sense. You have a single box solution. It's a transponder. It is also ADS-B out. And therefore, it solves all the problems of the single altitude encoder, single point of entry for the squawk code.
Which makes it easier and take up less space in your panel and less weight in the airplane.
Correct.
So about the out, so a lot of this information helps the air traffic control system complete its picture and it creates efficiencies. Is that one of the primary reasons?
Yeah, the reason that the FAA is so keen on this and the reason that Congress has spent billions of dollars putting it in place is because it's going to improve the traffic flow and traffic management, particularly in congested airspace. And, you know, that's going to help everybody. It's going to help the traveling public, but it does also help the GA guys as well when you are ADS-B out equipped. And they can see you in places where they previously couldn't. You can get better clearances, better routes, shortcuts are available.
Now, there's also the ADS-B in, and I keep hearing a lot of things that the pilots can get a lot of resources if they have the ADS-B in. What kind of resources do the pilots get, and what do they actually see in the airplane?
Well, the first basic thing that you get on ADS-B in any technology is you get traffic. And in some ways, that's actually the killer app for ADS-B, because although it is giving you situational awareness for the controllers and seeing where everybody is, for the pilot, it's priceless. At the moment, if you wanted to put an active traffic system or a TCAS in a GA airplane, for most of the smaller airplanes out here in Oshkosh, that's just a dream. It's never going to happen. Whereas for a relatively small investment, you can buy a device which picks up the ADS-B information, and in fact, of course, very small investment because you can get one uncertified that you just Velcro to the panel, and it can provide you with a traffic picture of what's going on around your airplane. To get that, you need to play to play. You have to be a participant in the system to get all of the traffic information in. Some people maybe are surprised at that or hadn't thought that one through. If you are not participating and sending traffic out your local information about your airplane, you will not see all the other aircraft.
I'm also on a related topic, but not at the pilot level, but at the avionics shop level, will the avionics shops have to have special training and certification to be able to install these in aircraft, or is this just going to be fairly seamless?
It's going to be fairly seamless. Clearly, there are some specialty items. Mm-hmm. The kinds of checks that an avionics shop does to sign out an ADS-B install are not a lot different from transponder checks. We're all familiar with those. You have to have your periodic transponder check. You put it on the ramp, and this applies to experimental or certified airplanes. Nowadays, most of those guys, there is a product called an IFR 6000. It's not my product. It's just the industry benchmark for a portable test set. That is how everybody's doing transponder checks on the ramp. As it happens, the IFR 6000 also does ADS-B checks. And so while you're standing out there, you press a few buttons, it's an automated test. So you should think of it just like the transponder check that you're probably already doing.
And you were talking about on Monday about how you're working your products to talk to the various different systems that it may have to work with and working on software and wiring solutions to make them compatible. Because I think a lot of people would be interested in purchasing that would be, well, how's it going to fit in with my airplane? And what have been the challenges there?
Yeah, that turns out to be interesting. We're in GA, and one of the perhaps disadvantages is that there are lots of proprietary interfaces, and they're all different. Even when those interfaces are published, they're still all different. So the great thing about standards is there's so many to choose from. And that means that from our point of view, we have to make sure that our transponders can interface with a whole range of different devices. In the certified world, not only do you have to write the software, do the bench testing, and check that you have that compatibility, but you also have to demonstrate that to the FAA by going through an STC process. So we've been doing a whole series of different STCs, which involve combining different trig products with different third-party products, doing flight tests, doing ground evaluation and engineering analysis, because all that's actually required as part of the process to make sure that what you're putting out there is going to meet the performance requirements of the standard.
In your booth this week, is it is it the most popular topic that is being discussed in your booth, or do you have some other things going on?
That's pretty much the most popular. A lot of people are coming up and are talking to us about our ADS-B solution. We do have a couple of other things going on. We are showing here at Oshkosh for the first time our new radio product, which is a panel mount comm radio. It's a very slim chassis, ideal for the smaller panel because it includes a built-in stereo intercom, music interface, auxiliary inputs, user programmable memory, lots of features that make it a core of a stack if you want to build a small stack. For the guys with larger stacks and different things, we also have our new audio panels. They're also on the booth.
And are those all certified solutions?
They're all TSO solutions, yeah.
Nice.
And we'd be remiss without asking you, where is your booth?
My booth is in Hangar C in the main exhibits area.
Very good.
And unfortunately, there are some people who aren't here at AirVenture, and I don't know why, but if somebody who is listening to us who can't make it to the show, how can they find out more information about you?
They could go to my website, which would be www.trig-avionics.com.
Excellent. And I'm assuming you're going to be here all week. And do you have any great specials going on at the booth?
We don't, because we don't sell direct off the booth, but we have a whole bunch of dealers here at the show. And quite a few of them have some very attractive specials. I'm afraid you have to shop around and find out who's got the best deal from Trig.
No playing favorites, obviously.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you've been listening to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike. We've been joined with Andy Davis from Trig Avionics discussing some of the advantages of ADS-B and some of their products that are coming. We'll be back after this short break.